Our scripture today comes from Luke 4, 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only God." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil was finished every test, he departed until an opportune time. The title of my message today is Tempted, Tried, and Sometimes Failing. Those words come from the pen of Wilbur Chapman and are included in the hymn, "Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners." And now I'm sure that while I was preparing to get here this morning, I was tempted. And when I arrived here to get things ready for worship, I was tried. But if I'm truly honest, the sometimes failing part happens more often than I really want to confess. There are some stories that appear in the Gospels several times. The story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness is one of them. Three different Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, apparently thought that this was so significant that all three included them at the beginning of their Gospels. In a nutshell, the devil proposed all the solutions that he's still proposing today. Now I say he, it could be she, I'm just throwing that out there. The devil then, as now, proposes external fixes. The devil shows up, not in that cape, with the pointy pitchfork, but sometimes in the most beautiful scenario. Jesus, then as now, proposes internal fixes. The devil says the path to happiness is things changing. But Jesus says the path to happiness is through people changing. Jesus spent his life and ministry focused on changing people from the inside out. He knew that when hearts and minds were going to be changed, then circumstances and things would change. I believe that is the ministry that the Palms is called to. Let's pray together. Holy God, we are grateful for these moments. We pray that you will open our hearts and minds and eyes and ears to what you would have for us this morning and every day. pray these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our story comes right after Jesus' baptism. The Holy Spirit has come down upon him in the shape of a dove and has led him into the wilderness. I wonder if Jesus remembered the stories of his people as he walked away from the Jordan. Throughout Jewish history, people have struggled in the wilderness and have also encountered God there. Jesus knew the story of people who struggled and often failed to trust God as they wandered around, sometimes 40 days, sometimes 40 years. I bet Jesus recalled those stories when he too was being tempted. Jesus seemed to follow the footsteps of his ancestor Moses, who is said to have spent 40 days on a mountain with no food. And Luke says that Jesus didn't eat at all during this time away. Luke doesn't tell us why he didn't eat. Was he fasting? Was it a time of drought and he couldn't find any food? Was he too worried to eat for some reason? The answer is not obvious and may not actually be the important part of the story. What does seem to be most important to Luke is how Jesus responds, even in his hunger. Jesus had some unfriendly company out there in the wilderness trying to take advantage of his vulnerabilities. The devil, a walking, talking manifestation of temptation, hiding in the guise of reason, knew that hungry people can sometimes make terrible decisions. He knew that a hungry Jesus might just be vulnerable enough to be tempted. So he asks Jesus a question about his identity, and then offered him something he truly needed. Hey, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Come on, look, you're wasting away. You haven't eaten in days. You deserve this. You need this. If you have the power that you say you have, if that voice that spoke to you when you were baptized is true, if all those stories your family tells about prophets and angels and stars actually happened, you can actually do something about those pains in your belly. Make yourself a little something to eat. Have it your way. Eat fresh. It'll be finger-licking good. God helps those who help themselves, right? Jesus said no. Even as his stomach ached and his ribs might have been poking through his shirt, he said no. He simply stated, one does not live by bread alone. He is not the Son of God so that he can fill his own belly. Jesus is very clear that he isn't going to use his power foolishly or for his own gain. There's no need for magic bread. Jesus knew there were resources readily available. His power is not oriented towards self. It is others-oriented. Even though he's hungry, there is something greater. Jesus was and is about the way people think about poor and homeless. He's changing people from the inside out. People throughout history tend to think that throwing money at the poor and homeless problem, creating shelters and corrals in some area of town away from our front doors and certainly away from where we won't be harmed. Now, I'm not ignorant of the possible dangers that come from ministering to poor and homeless in more intimate and meaningful ways. In these days, anything is possible. People from all socioeconomic levels can jeopardize our safety. But Jesus calls us to demonstrate love, compassion, grace, and facilitate the internal fixes in the lives of poor and homeless and mentally and physically challenged folks. Perhaps instead of being tempted to turn our eyes and hearts away, we could answer the call of God. May God grant us the courage to act in ways that will meet not only physical needs, but spiritual needs. Money and bread will never do what unconditional love and extravagant welcome can. When people change, things change. The devil, realizing that hunger wasn't powerful enough, tried to use this others-oriented tangent that Jesus seems to be hooked on to divert his attention away from the mission. The devil offered Jesus a chance to be the most powerful person on earth. Come on, JC, think of all the good you could do if you were in charge. You can make all the decisions and make sure that everyone is cared for. You know that God's reign needs a little marketing right now. Jesus, why not step into a place of authority and make sure everyone gets on board with this God thing as you see fit? Look at all these kingdoms. I'll give them all to you and all the authority you need to rule them. I can do that, you know. All you have to do is worship me. Jesus, having lived under the tyranny of Rome and having watched local politicians, probably had dreamed of having a just and loving ruler for all people. But to become ruler in this way would have been too great a cost. He said, "No, I will not worship evil." The devil, frustrated after 40 days of high quality temptations that have gone nowhere, has one last offer for Jesus. Taking Jesus up to the highest pinnacle of Jerusalem, the very top of the temple, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here." And then he decided to quote some scripture. It seems appropriate to quote scripture when everything else fails. Now, the writers of Psalms said that God loves all people and will protect them. If you are the Son of God, if God is really calling you to a special mission, God's going to send some angels to catch you before you know, well, crash to the ground. Such a dangerous spectacle. Now, that would surely help you prove that God is the real deal. And when you feel the angels lift you up, then you can know for sure that this mission you are undertaking isn't simply madness. You could prove that God is leading you and that God will protect you. You know, things are going to get pretty dangerous, but you need to be sure. So go ahead, just jump. Jesus said, "No." He realized that just because the devil knows how to use scripture to justify a terrible idea, that doesn't mean that he has to quite literally fall for it. Some scriptures simply carry more weight than others. and act as guides for our interpretation. In this case, Jesus knows the guiding scripture. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. More importantly, with this last interaction, we can now see that Jesus is totally confident and knows that he can fulfill the mission that God is calling him to, even though it will be dangerous. He knows that feeding himself and ruling kingdoms of the world or saving himself from danger isn't really the point. That's not what Jesus' authority is for. It's all about remaining faithful to God and loving all of God's people, being ready to meet the spiritual and physical needs of people in meaningful ways. The devil leaves, and Jesus is ready to begin his public ministry. Doesn't seem like the most auspicious beginning. He's hungry, has no followers. He is aware that his life is going to become increasingly dangerous, and yet he's empowered to begin. He is full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always guide him. I don't know about the other tests that the devil put him through while they were out in the wilderness, but these last three tests seem to have something in common. They all seem to be related to how Jesus will respond in difficult situations, how he will use the power that comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Even when it seems like using a little power wouldn't be the most terrible thing in the world, Jesus had no problem making sure that the hungry were fed. Not because he was trying to build notoriety. The devil was looking for someone to be indebted to him. Jesus became a leader who demonstrated and taught healing, loving, forgiving, and changing people from the inside out. Doing a new thing by changing what was going on inside their hearts, their external circumstances changed. Jesus didn't use tyranny or intimidation. That is what the great tempter is always interested in: tyranny and unchecked power. Well, the end of Scripture this morning says this opportune time. Well, as we are in Lent, you'll recall Jesus will return to Jerusalem and will be tempted, encouraged to save himself from the cross. But he will not. He did not use his authority for self-preservation. He used that authority to remain loyal to his mission, even if that meant certain death. As we heard earlier in the service, the stronger you are, the more capable you are, the more opportunity you have, the more power and influence you have, the greater will be your temptation. When we see Jesus being tested, we are seeing him at both his most vulnerable, but we also see him leaning into his newfound strength, learning how to make the choice to follow a divine path. None of these tests would mean anything if he wasn't able to actually succumb to the temptation, but he doesn't. His love for us prevails. His love for God prevails and will continue to prevail. When we are tempted, are we willing to make the same kinds of choices that Jesus made. And knowing that Christ chose us in the midst of great temptations in our life, how can we continue to choose him? To choose to serve with him? These are some questions that this story asks of us. I do hope that as we journey through this Lenten season, you'll be able to answer some of those questions for yourselves. Be sure there are many tests ahead. Let's pray that we too can be filled with the Holy Spirit and make Christ-like decisions. Amen.